maybe put out a little bit of a challenge to you this morning. And not a challenge just for today, but one that will be throughout the year. And I'd like for you to listen to what the psalmist said, and said, and said, and said. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Let me tell you where I was want to go with that. We spend a tremendous amount of time thinking and asking the Lord to do things for us. Every Sunday morning, I ask, do we have any prayer requests? And we'll have some. And like this morning, we had one praise. Maybe two. Might stretch it three. And we didn't have many requests. But let me assure you that we, every week, week after week, I can almost rest assured there'll be somebody who's requesting that we pray for somebody. And sometimes it's for us. But how many times do we stop then and say, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. We want his help. We need his help, and we should ask for his help. Don't misunderstand me there. But once in a while, we need to praise the Lord. I was thinking as they were singing the one song, how that at the end of it, it says that we will not have to worry about that sweet hour of prayer anymore. There's going to come a time when we're not going to have to pray. We as God's children. Now, that's a privilege that every one of us as a child of God enjoy, is the privilege of praying. And that's to be able to talk to the Lord. That's what praying is. If you just want to get it in its most simple form. Now, I know you can go over there and you can quote to me the Lord's Prayer, the one that the Lord left for them to follow, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and on and on and on. And that is our model prayer. And if you break that all down, it's great. But for you and I every day to be able to pray, most of the time we just don't use those words and we don't put it in that particular order. But we can talk to the Lord, and we should talk to the Lord, and what a privilege it is to talk to him. I tell people, not only is it a privilege, but it's also something that can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous in that we get carried away sometimes, and we start asking the Lord for things, and we are telling the Lord what all we're going to do. And that's when it gets dangerous. The Bible says it's better to not make a vow unto the Lord than make one and not repay. So we have to be careful what it is that we're promising him. The other part of that, though, that I think is just as important as our being able to tell him what we need and us being able to talk to him, is to listen to him as he talks to us. I thought this week as I was thinking a little bit about what I hope for this next year and which I will lay out here so all of you can hold me to it, is that one of the things that I need to do is to talk less. To talk less. I mean that. You know, I surely used to say, you know, you've already used up your quota of words for the day and it'd still be early in the morning. I'm sure that I'm guilty of that, and I need to talk less and listen more. Not only to you, but to the Lord. I need to be able to listen to him more, to see what he has to say to me, and he will talk to me, but he can't talk to me if I'm trying to talk to him all the time. Now, you just think about that for a little bit. Oh, God can do anything. Well, he can, but he's just like we are. Sometimes he wants our undivided attention. He wants us to pay attention to him. But what I want to talk about this morning, and what I want to challenge you this morning as a church is that throughout this year that we praise him a little more. The psalmist said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise him. Not be ashamed to be able to say that. I want you to listen to what he says. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's what the psalmist is saying in the 107th Psalm. 107. I'm just getting ready to read the 119th. I believe it's the 119th. I want to look and be sure. Well, I started this morning. I've read up to the 119th, and I looked. I said, oh, my goodness. I don't have time to read that one this morning. That's 176 verses long. I guess that's probably the longest psalm there is in there. So I thought, well, I need to wait on that one and read that one when I've got a little more time. But I want you to listen to what the psalmist says here in the 107th Psalm. He says, let us give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We know that. But sometimes what we know and what we demonstrate and what we say is not in a sync. He is good. He's good to each one of us. Now listen to what he says. He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He starts out and he's going back over whenever the children of Israel were down in Egypt and all the problems they were having and everything that was going on when they finally got down to serious business with the Lord and they prayed to the Lord to redeem them, to save them from all the trouble they were having. God sent them a Savior. He sent him a leader. He sent him a man to lead him up out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, into a promised land. And whenever he sent that man, they said, we don't want him. He don't know what he's doing. We'd be better off if we went back down there. So many times, people, we just think that we're just living the worst there can possibly be and that things are so tough for us. God has always been good to us, and we have much to be thankful for this morning. Yeah, I'm not saying this morning that there aren't going to be some tough times in our lives, because there are. There have been. There will be. But God is still good to us, and we still need to be able to praise him and to thank him. For he satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contended the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bonds in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The psalmist not only looks about the history of what had happened to God's people, but he also looks and he points out some of the problems that they had experienced and the reasons that they had experienced some of those problems, and then how that he had delivered them, how he had broken the bonds that they were unable to contain or to take care of themselves, and he was able to contain the enemy in that he was God and able to do so. And so he said, and men need to praise him for his goodness, need to praise him. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. One place, one of the old prophets said to God's people, he said, you know what? You people have failed to follow the Lord. You've gone ahead and you've made your other gods. You've served them. You have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. You've hewn out cisterns, broken his cisterns that can hold no water. You've gone after them. But in your time of trouble, you know what you're going to do? You're going to call on me. You're going to want me. How often do I see that and I hear that among God's people? I can take care of this myself. I can do this on my own. I'll try everything else under the sun before I try the Lord. Now, they don't say that, but that's what they do. And then finally, in desperation, and finally, as a last resort, they turn to the Lord. And you know what? Our preachers today, our teachers today will teach, and the Lord's just going to be right there every time. Not according to his word. You know what he said to those people who had forsaken him, who had followed after other gods? He said, you're in trouble now. Let your gods take care of them. Yeah, you wanted to serve them. You follow them. Go ahead. Let them take care of you. You put so much confidence in them. Let me tell you something. God is much better than that. God is going to go ahead, and he does every time, and he did even with those people, but he let them learn a lesson. You know what? It doesn't pay not to serve the Lord. I want you to understand that this morning. You think for one single second that he doesn't deserve every bit of praise and every bit of energy that we can expend to give him the glory that he's deserving of. You're kidding yourself, because he is worthy of it. And he deserves more than we give him. We are so lackadaisical about our worship of the Lord, people. It's pathetic. We just, you know, it's a convenient thing for us, okay. Listen, the Lord deserves better than that from me and from each one of you, from all of his children, from all of his people, not just here. We just cannot begin to repay him for all he's done. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Now, let me go on, because I want to read just a little more. And then I want to hurry. I know we've got another service to do here. And I am truly going to try to make a better job this year of not taking so much of your time. But listen. He said, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. That they go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lieth up the waves thereof, lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so that he bringeth them unto their desired haven. He's talking about here. He's talking about the sailors who go out and who experience the storms out of the sea. No different than our people who go out and experience the storms of life. The ups and the downs, the good and the bad, that which is pleasant and that which is terrible. God is aware of every single thing that every one of us do, and yet he brings us through those times. Listen, he said, he makes the storm. I read that. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Okay. What does it say? Five times? One, two, three, four. Four times in that one chapter, he said this again and again. I learned a long time ago that most of us do not remember much if we only hear it one time. we need to have it repeated to us. It needs repetition. And the more often it's repeated, the more likely. You ever listen to the commercials on TV or watch them on TV? They don't just show you a telephone number one time. They flash that thing on there on and off, and you see it a half a dozen times. You're more apt to remember if it just went by one time. You're more apt to remember these things. That's why I think the psalmist here is saying that he needs to be able to say this. He believed it himself. He had experienced many of these things. I want to just give you some examples out of the word of the Lord. Father, we need to praise the Lord. Praise him for his goodness. One of the first ones that I like to talk about is the woman at the well of Samaria, whenever that Jesus had spoken unto her and identified himself to her. And she, after that she found out who the Lord was so excited about what that she had learned while she was there, that this man was the Christ, she forgot what she came after. She forgot. She came there to draw water. And she forgot her water pots, and she went running back into the city, saying, "Come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She was excited about what had happened, what she had witnessed, what she had experienced. And people, sometimes I think that we're not nearly excited enough about what God has done for us and what we have witnessed in our own lives. We're too excited about everything else under the sun, excepting about what the Lord has done. We can get excited about football games. Some of you watched them last night. I saw the last little bit, and I was pleased the way most of them came out yesterday. I don't mind standing here and tell you that this morning. Doesn't matter what you think. There'll be some of you who'll be satisfied with the way they come out this evening. Some of you won't. We can get excited about those things. We can get excited about ball games. We can get excited about races. We can get excited about fishing. We can get excited about shopping. We can get excited about everything under the sun. But when it comes to the Lord, we say, "Yeah, I guess I'll go up there and listen to that preacher, get up there and preach a little bit. Get in my air. I'll go home." Listen, if that's all the Lord means to you, I'm ashamed. Surely he must, and I'm S-U-R-E, not S-H-I-R-L-E. My Shirley used to say that when she first heard her singing the song, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." She thought they were saying, "Surely shall follow me all the days of my life." She said, "I really did. I thought that's what they were saying as they were singing that." And so she kind of liked that song. You know, "Surely goodness and mercy." Well, anyway, this lady was excited about what she forgot what she had come there to do. And she went in there with a determination to tell these people about what the Lord had done for her. We need to be excited sometimes. We need to be able to praise the Lord for what he's done for us. Not what we've done for ourselves, but what he has done for us. "Come see a man who told me all things whatsoever did. Is not this the Christ?" The Bible says that many of the people went out then and they listened to them. And you know what they said? They said, now we believe, not because of what you've said, but because we have heard him for ourselves. And that's what it all needs to be about. I don't necessarily care whether people will subscribe to my experience of salvation with the Lord or not, but I want them to have their experience of salvation with the Lord. Their own experience that they can tell people about. There's another old boy in the word of the Lord, when Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and he was sitting there begging, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Take up thy bed and walk." And he reached out and took him by the hand, and the Bible says he came up from there, and he went into the temple leaping and shouting and praising God. Praising the Lord. He was excited about what had happened. Now, you don't go out of here and say, "Well, the preacher wants us to get all excited." I don't want you to get excited about anything unless you're excited. I don't want any hypocrites. We've got enough already. And you know the only people can be hypocritical? Yeah. That's those people who don't have anything but want you to think they do. Yeah. They're being hypocritical about it. We many times as God's people, though, who have something, are not doing a very good job of letting it be known what we have either. So maybe we're a little hypocritical too. This old boy, he was excited about what had happened. Somebody had helped him. And he went into the temple not praising in Peter and John, but praising God. One more, and then I'm going to quit. Deacons, get ready. We're going to move right along here. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. When the eunuch had asked Philip, what did hinder him from being baptized? Only one thing. Only one thing hinders anyone from being baptized. And that's that they've got that experience of salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ. That they can make that confession of faith. Well, with the mouth, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And first, there's just one thing that hinders you from being baptized. If you believe with all your heart, your mind, your strength, your soul, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may. You said, I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There wasn't anything elaborate about that, but it was all that was necessary. Now, what the Bible says, Philip took him down in there and he baptized him out there in the middle of the desert somewhere. Don't even know exactly where it was. Doesn't matter. But the Bible does say that whenever they came straightway up out of the water, that the Lord caught away the Philip, and the eunuch went on his way. And he, let me back up. It says, and he went on his way rejoicing. I interpret that to mean the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Now there may be some old sourpuss who's going to say, don't say it was a eunuch, it might have been Philip. It might have been both of them. My point this morning is there are many instances in the Word of the Lord of people who were not ashamed to praise the Lord. We need not be ashamed to praise Him. In my younger days as a preacher, every once in a while I'd hear someone say, amen. Man, that's just like hollering, sick him to a dog. That just makes you feel like somebody is in agreement with what I just said. And there were times when I first started preaching, you'd be having so many amens, the one because I'm such a good preacher, they just like to holler amen. But they'd be hollering amen so much you couldn't hear the preacher preaching, you know. But I don't think anything wrong with that. Now, I don't go to say, well, I guess we're going to have to start saying amen in that church up there. That's what he's wanting. Now, if you don't feel like it, don't say it. But if you ever feel like it, I don't want you to be hesitant to do it either, because all it'll lose startle me for about a half a minute. And then I'll just take off like that dog. Thank you for your good attention. Oh, that men might praise the Lord for his goodness. For his goodness. That's who needs our praise.